a lot of negotiations can be tough. You know, people choose to handle it how they choose. And you guys have been around our program. We have a lot of, you know, really good guys that don't want to miss. And Jimbo doesn't want to miss. I know that. And so I'm sure it's painful for him to make that decision. And like I said, we'll continue the dialogue with, you know, with him and hopefully, you know, get it resolved and get him back out there. Practicing a couple hours, we'll see, you know, whether that's this morning or if not, we'll try again and get him back out for the next one.
Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean earlier this morning with us on the James Cook situation. Learned of Cook not practicing, not dressing for practice a little before. And, you know, said a few things in there. Sal Capaccio joins us here at St. John Fisher. You can join us on the phone lines if you want, 803-0550. But some of the highlights of what Brandon Bean had to say about Cook. Like, that's the biggest news of today. They're not aware until practice yesterday. Love James. Want our guys practicing. Hopefully he's back soon. Remains to be seen if he shows today wearing pads or whatever is appropriate for practice. Constant communication. And he called it disappointing, like, that he's not practicing. So, and he also said, we'll continue to talk. And said, if it doesn't happen, we'll try again next year was another thing he said in there. Like, the idea that they're trying to get a deal done. He said, it takes two. That's usually something you say when you feel like one side is a little too far out. Now, both sides can say it takes two. Anyway, Sal, good morning.
Good morning. Good job with Brandon Bean. I know there was a lot of chatter last night, but I think that, you know, the pressing issue, it's not, you know, what was said about wide receiver and draft. It's what's happening with James Cook right now. And I thought Brandon addressed it honestly with you guys and fairly about, you know, the situation from the Bills side, which, to be quite honest with me, has been pretty consistent all along. I don't think he said anything that really was out of the ordinary of anything he said since the beginning, which is, we want James Cook here. We've talked with his agents. We're trying to get this done. It's not that we don't want to pay running backs, but you have to fit it in, as he said, under the umbrella, not in a silo. That was a good quote,
yeah.
Right? And I like that. And it also, what you just said is right, which is him saying, we could do something next year. Let's remember, they have the franchise tag. They have the transition tag. The Bills still hold the leverage here, the way I look at it. Now, anybody out there can say, well, James could just sit out games. That's true. He could. The question has to be asked then, how worse off are the Bills if that were to be the case? Yes, I think they're losing a very dynamic player, a very good player. But they would then prepare and plan, just like, as he said, like an injury. Those things happen as well. You have to go into games like that. No one feels sorry for you in the NFL if you lose guys for whatever reasons. You go out there. Next year, they could decide to, at the end of the year, hey, we came to a compromise. Here's an agreement. They could pull other levers to keep him in the fold. In the meantime, the most pressing issue is, will James Cook practice? It's also very interesting. He doesn't know if he's practicing today. He does not know. Like, we're all going to find out.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we went to Sean McDermott's press conference. McDermott ran over a laundry list of players who were out. The big news was Khalil Shakir, obviously. He's going to be out. He's week to week.
Yep.
And then we walked out, and James Cook is on the exercise bike, and no one knew what was going on. And we started asking amongst the media, do you know what's wrong with James? I don't know. We all guessed vet rest day.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you, after 8 days of being here,
right,
guess that?
And minicamp.
And minicamp. The prevailing kind of sentiment amongst my colleagues talking with everybody is confusion. Why would you choose to do this after a week that you came here? Like, you came here and practiced and said you want to be all in on the team, and now you did this. I think people are just confused. And then you get the Tom Pelissero report and say, well, might make sense now.
Yeah.
Might make sense now. Okay, that's why. He's here. They're getting close. He doesn't want to risk injury. It's like pulling a player off the ice in a hockey practice you're about to trade.
Yeah, for people who don't know the Pelissero report, he said, this is not a situation where the sides are completely breaking down. It does make some sense if Cook has these contract negotiations hovering over his head, that it would make sense for everybody to not have him practicing. He said, from what he hears, the sides have not been far apart. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to get that context.
No, you're right.
Might not have heard that.
And I mean, but anything I heard from Brandon there did not indicate that to me. I came away from what you guys just did with Brandon Bean thinking there's really no change. We are where we have been, and yet the only thing that's changed is he's not practicing.
Yeah. It is like, yeah, confusion. Why would you do it now? That's why it's such an odd move. When we started today, Sal, I kind of thought, like, all right, Maybe it is that they're just on almost over the line, and he's going to, all right, I'm going to make sure I don't, you know, turn my knee backwards before I sign on the dotted line. But, yeah, I don't really know what to make of it. And the fact that they kind of don't know what's going to happen next, if he's going to show up, like that is a distraction, because now with all these injuries as they are, yeah, I got a lot of guys getting opportunities now. And I don't know, man, like it's odd. It's very odd that 8 days in Cook would go this route. I think that there's no doubt about that. He did, however, say, and he continues to say, that they want him here.
Yes.
So there's a number. It's not, you know, who knows what it is, 10 million, 7 million, yeah. 9 million. Like they want him here, and they'd probably give him a raise. The question is, like, to what degree?
I have said for a long time, and want to make sure I maintain this so people understand, this is not a situation where the Bills are deciding if they want James Cook on the team or not. The Bills have made that decision. They want James Cook on the team. They want James Cook on the team for the next several years. They'd love to give him a contract extension for whatever that looks like in the Bills' eyes. They want to pay him. They want to give him a contract extension that bumps up his salary. The sticking point and issue is simply how much he is worth to the Buffalo Bills. Someone tweeted at me last night and said, everybody knows how much he's worth. Look at all the analytics. And people have done contract that, oh, he's worth 10 to 12. Well, sure. I mean, it might look like that on paper compared to with his numbers. His value is different to every team in this league. Is he worth that much to a team that has Saquon Barkley? Of course not, because you're not going to have two running backs and paying that much. Is he worth that to a team that has Josh Allen you're paying $50 million to? Brandon Bean just said that. He just said to you guys, you got to pay Josh. You got to pay your tackles. You got to pay certain people. So the value is a very moving target when it comes to any team and any circumstance here. And that's the needle they're trying to thread here in Buffalo and how they do it.
The other thing too, Sal, and Bean spoke on this too, is this is just such a unique situation for them. I mean,
yes,
nine years, this is, am I right? It's the first time, I think Brandon said this, the first time that a guy has missed a practice at training camp due to something contract-related. And I don't know what Cook is hoping to get out of that. He's probably hoping to get them maybe back to the table to push them a little bit further towards his number, because unless he's going to miss games, I don't know what he expects to accomplish by missing a couple of practices. But again, uncharted territory. I don't know how the Bills will react
right to
the situation. But does it just seem, wouldn't you be skeptical that one way they would react is, okay, well, now we'll give you this because you didn't show up?
Yes. I don't. You're saying I don't think they would do that. I don't think they're going to cave in just because he.
That's what
right?
I mean. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to cave in financially just because he didn't practice. I agree with you. The Bills have their number. That's what they believe. Could you massage it a little bit? Sure. I can't imagine Brandon Bean suddenly going, okay, all right, I'm going to go way above what I thought. There might be a little bit of room there. There might be some things you could do around the roster.
Guarantees
to tweak some things.
Yeah, 100%.
One thing is, he's not going to set out the year. I think he's got to be there six games in order to get an accrued season.
Yeah. You know, one thing about a potential deal sale, like not likely to be earned incentives or stuff that you put in there and it doesn't go on your cap unless the guy hits them. The season he just had might make that tough to do.
Yeah, that's right.
He just had 16 touchdowns. Like, you can't put touchdowns in there. There's no touchdown incentive that you can keep off the cap. And, you know, you might feel the same with yards too. So that might make things a little bit sticky where you could just say,
yeah,
like, if he had a year with three touchdowns, like, hey, we'll give you $3 million if you get four touchdowns. Like,
right?
That's not on the cap. That's money he's going to get. You bet on yourself. Like, so I don't know. There's so much at work here.
The only thing that, you know, gets you to, okay, well, how can the Bills do it, is he is scheduled on the cap for over five this year. Like, is there a way to lower that? They've done that with a couple of these extensions. Like, and if Brandon Bean really wants to get creative, he could do that. Probably could lower it. But then you're really paying a guy a lot of money in conjunction with paying your quarterback and your two tackles, as he said, and that's the issue. And it does go back to your point earlier at the draft about wide receiver, which is there's only so many resources you have to pay around the roster, and you have to have a philosophy. Whether it's Brandon Bean and running backs or wide receivers and whatever, you have to have a philosophy of a team build and who you pay and how you pay them. And if you have Josh Allen, you pay him. If you don't have Josh Allen, you have more money to pay other places that you can surround your quarterback with. So, it, you know, people say the salary cap's not real. The salary cap is real. Every team has to deal with it. It is a way to – there are ways to get creative with the salary cap, but you have to adhere to being able to spend only up until a certain amount of money. And honestly, the Bills are one of the most cash-spending teams in the league. It's not about cash. It's not about not wanting to pay him cash. It's simply about how you can allocate those resources to stay competitive for what I think they want to have is the next 5 years of Josh Allen left in his prime.
Sal Capaccio here with us from St. John Fisher. All right, to the rest of it. So that's the Cook story. The injuries. I mean, it's been a camp of minor-ish injuries. And Khalil Shakir, the latest, like week to week with a high ankle sprain. Up and down the lineup, Sal. McDermott yesterday sounded like a guy running out of players.
Agreed.
You get a lot of guys here. You get a lot of bodies. And he said, we're just trying to fill drills, basically.
I mean, I agree. It's just – it seems like it's one after another every single day, two after another, three after another. I mean, he ran through the injuries yesterday, and there were so many of them. We in the media, Hal, had to go back and compare notes on what he said. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. Like, we're like, did he say this? Did he say this guy? What did he say about that guy? How many guys did you have? Who was limited? Who wasn't, right? That's what it's coming down to. And, yeah, I don't remember a camp quite like this. Every year, there's always injuries, minor ones. You're like, oh, my gosh, you know, here we go again. People saying, I will say, this year, it's been more. The good news is, knock on wood, the good news is it hasn't been anything super significant other than Max Harrison and now Khalil Shakir, which obviously we could talk about. But even those are week to week.
Yeah.
You could realistically, theoretically, whatever, you could get them back before week one, both of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe more likely Khalil, the way it sounds. But you could get both them back before week one. I mean, even Cedric Van Pran Granger, he said, we're hoping to get him back after Tampa. It's after the third preseason game.
Mm, right.
What do you do with guys like that? Here's a guy in his second year who won't have all of his preseason. Here's a guy in his first year now who won't have all of his preseason. And Max Harrison, right? So it's not just the injuries. It's not just the we have bodies. It's when you get to making a roster, when you get to game planning, how much time have they had? What do you do with them? They're not ready to play. They're not coming back and part of your game plan. So how do you massage all of that when you make it try to make it work?
Right. It might make it really hard to pin down what a 53-man roster will end up looking like, at least projecting it. They'll know. But
I think, Joe, that Max Harrison could very well be an IR to return candidate at the end of cuts.
Yeah.
You get two of those now. You can put two guys on that day, IR to return. They're out 4 weeks. But it gives them some more runway. But, you know, maybe that then he would be gone 4 weeks. You wouldn't even see him.
Yeah. The Shakir injury, Sal, 4 to 5 weeks, that was one report that we saw, but week to week is what we should stick with here. High ankle sprain, that can be an injury, I feel like, that is one of those annoying injuries that can linger even when a guy comes back and you're wondering how healthy the guy is. Shakir had this injury last year, right?
He did.
Missed one game, I think, was it, and then played through it and maybe didn't look exactly the same, but he did play through it, put up some numbers. So that's kind of also going into this, how healthy would Shakir be, even if he's back, by week one? And it might be tough to figure out, right? Like, he could be practicing the week of the Ravens game and still be limited by that injury when they line up on
that
Sunday.
And coincidentally, Joe, he hurt it against the Ravens last year.
Right. Early.
Wouldn't you guys argue, I mean, I guess there could be a game missing along the way. Weren't the Ravens and Texans games maybe the worst offensive outputs of the Bills last year, how they even looked? I'm not even talking about scoring production numbers.
Yes.
What's the common denominator there? No Khalil Shakir. He got hurt like in the second series of that Ravens series game.
He actually, if I remember right.
Maybe the first.
It was the first drive, I thought.
Yeah.
And he caught that crazy Allen play where Allen was on the sideline. It was like a broken play down the field. Shakir got behind the defense.
Yeah.
But like they just forgot about him.
Yeah.
Right? Like he wasn't out there really doing much in the rest of that game because he didn't seem healthy.
But I mean the overall offense just did not operate.
No, that was like the only play they scored on.
That's when Josh got hurt on the trick play they tried. And then Houston was just a terrible, terrible offensive game, right?
Yeah.
I mean the common denominator is you lost Khalil Shakir. You wanna know how valuable Khalil Shakir is? We have anecdotal evidence that when he's out of the lineup, this offense just did not operate very well.
Yeah. How do you expect his timeline makes it sound like he'll be ready for week one. But if he were to miss time in these practices, who on the roster and on the depth chart feels like the guy that could maybe gain from Shakir missing time the most? I thought of Samuel for this, but he's not healthy either. Elijah Moore, there's a long list of guys that feel like could play in the slot.
Well, the wide receiver du jour, maybe of this camp, he's starting to get a little bit of run. And McDermott talked about him on special teams, too, which is always a secret way. Christian Wilkerson.
He's looked good.
He's looked good.
He's got a good body. He's taller. I like him. Mm-hmm. I like him. I think Jalen Virgil has looked really good in this camp. Okay. And Jalen Virgil is a guy that actually signed to the active roster last year at one point. Right? You think about him.
Right.
He can play special teams. But I don't know how much he offers you in real, like, to what you're saying, like, to be a guy on the field to catch passes. That would be more Wilkerson. But I do like Jalen Virgil and what he's putting together, too. So, yeah, I think when you talk about guys like Josh Palmer's already on this team. Looking at the roster right now, KJ Hamler offers that slot, but I don't know. Like, he kind of seems like he's kind of a duplicate of Elijah Moore, right? And Elijah Moore would be ahead of him there. He's getting a little opportunity now, Elijah Moore. So everybody bumps up a little bit. And then we can never, ever forget about Tyrell Shavers. And Tyrell Shavers is always right there doing everything he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what his ceiling is for him to really be a player on the roster if they wanted that to happen. So I do like Christian Wilkerson. I think that he's putting together a nice camp. And if there's a spot on this roster at the end of the day, maybe he finds his way to sneak on. A lot of this will be based on preseason and what we see as well.
Curtis Samuel, is there anything here? I mean, if he doesn't get healthy, I mean, are they just kind of locked in no matter what unless they traded him? But if you're not going to trade an injured player.
No, Jeremy, you know, I thought about this, and I don't think let me pull up his contract because I know you have to take a big dead hit, you know, for Curtis Samuel.
If you cut him especially, I think.
Right, if you cut him.
And that would be most outcomes.
I'm getting all the way to they go to him and say, like, let's move some stuff.
Right.
Just because.
But then you're what? Then you're committing to him past this year?
Well, they have.
By doing that?
They have an out after this year with a 3.45 dead cap hit.
The difference between this year and next year is astronomical.
Yeah.
If you released Curtis Samuel now, you'd take an $8.6 million dead cap hit. You'd only save less than $500,000.
It's basically the same.
You do it at this time next year, you're saving $8 million.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, maybe you can massage something, but here's the Bills have taken big dead cap hits before.
Yeah.
They've done that. I'm not saying it's completely out of the question. What I keep going back to, though, is I just think that they believe that he can be a real big part of this offense, and they want it. It just he hasn't been on the field.
Yeah. So and that's what it gets to. Like, you could – oh, he could save – whatever. What was the number? Really low.
$430,000.
Right. It would cost you more to go get his replacement. You might as well just wait on him and try and get that thing to work out eventually. And it's not like he's been listed as week to week, but they're not giving timelines.
No.
We don't really know.
And hamstring is always – you never know. I saw him on the field at the return of the blue and the red. And he was with family. He was in good spirits. So, I don't know. Maybe he's getting close. We'll see. Positively, speaking of hamstrings, the Bills did get Terrell Bernard back yesterday. That was good to see. And then Spencer Brown obviously had his first practice yesterday, which was good.
Yeah.
We talked with Spencer after, and he said it happened right before camp, like a week before camp, his back flared up. So he said he was able to do all of his workouts during the spring and summer that he was supposed to get in and all that, and then once it was ready for camp, about a week before that is when everything happened.
All right.
And then real quick, the interior offensive line is still pretty banged up because Anderson and Van Prank Granger, they're going to be out for a little bit.
That is four guys come in for tryouts?
They did. I saw that yesterday. In fact, when we found out about when Elena and Catherine, Elena Getzenberg of ESPN.com, Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News, they were the ones to talk to James. And when we found out about that, I was looking to see where Brandon Bean was. He was over on the other field watching
the tryouts.
It looked like interior guys they were working right there. So, I mean, that should give you a clue that, you know, they need to add some guys there. They need to add some depth. You got Cedric Van Pran Granger. You got Alec Anderson, who's out right now. So, yeah, I mean, those are key interior guys.
And then there was one more thing. I forget what it is. It's okay. We'll talk all the time.
Uh-oh.
It was right at the end there about –
Sal's golf round at Oak Hill?
No.
I do want to know about
that. It was nice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hit the ball as well as I've hit the ball in a long time. It was really
– It's a good place to do it.
I hit quite a few greens in regulation.
And
the putts were tough.
The putting there is
– putts were tough.
Yeah.
But you know that, like, an example is there's a par three, and I hit the ball. It just goes in the bunker, and I have a bad stance, so now I whack it over the green. Mm. Now you're like – I hit triple when I'm like, if I just get it on the green, I have a bogey, right?
Small mistakes, big penalties.
But the back nine was a 43, and I was super happy with that.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. All right. Whatever it was, I'll remember it.
Parsons?
No, it wasn't. It was about something here. Oh, today's practice is closed to the public.
Oh, yeah. So you will see fans here, though.
Yeah.
They'll be in the hospitality tent. That's corporate partners, friends, and family. There will be people here. So when people say, I saw online there's fans, the Bills didn't give tickets, like something like that. That's not the case. There's no general admission tickets today.
Yes.
For the fans in the stands.
So there will be Wednesday, Thursday, and then
yes, and then that's it, and then
we're wrapped.
And then Friday will be, I guess maybe a day off for the team. You know, not media day off for media, but not team. And then Saturday obviously is Giants.
Yep.
Yep.
And then next week they go to Chicago for joint practice at the end of the week.
And don't forget tomorrow night, Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks tomorrow night, that's right.
Tomorrow night, the debut. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio here from St. John Fisher. If you have a thought on what you heard from Brandon Bean about James Cook, give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. A little bit of intrigue, a little bit of drama here from Bills camp on the running back situation and the contract for James Cook. Jeremy and Joe, live from Fisher on WGR.
I'm not sitting here saying you don't pay running backs. I think you just have to find what the sweet spot is. You're paying Josh Allen. You're paying two tackles premium. We're paying a lot of guys on this team. We paid Khalil Shakir. You're paying a lot of guys. So you can't pay everybody. And there's other guys that want to be paid that haven't been paid either. That's sometimes a decision. We've seen, you know, unfortunately, a Tremaine Edmonds have to leave. You name the player, you'd love to keep them all, especially when you draft them like those guys. And like James, you know, we've drafted him, we've developed him, and he's done a great job developing himself. You would love nothing more than to keep him, but I got to make sure it fits under the whole umbrella, not look at each deal in a silo.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean joined us about an hour ago. I mean, talked for like 25, almost 30 minutes.
Yep.
So you can find that at our website. You can find that, you know, in the app. It'll be right there posted as an interview, full interview, wide-ranging stuff. A lot on James Cook right out of the gate because that's the news. They don't know if Cook will practice today. How about that? Is he gonna practice today? I don't know. We're going to find out. Cook, of course, missing yesterday's practice on, quote, business.
It's very weird.
Listen.
Very weird to do it in the middle of training camp.
It's definitely unorthodox. Maybe, you know, it's a new thing. It is kind of funny that's effective. He didn't just answer it. Just saying one word. A guy that doesn't say an awful lot.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Business. All right.
We all know what you mean by that. For the most part.
It would have been great if it was.
Has he tweeted?
I don't think so. I feel like we would have seen that by now. So
someone would have made reference to it.
I don't know. 803-0550. If you want to throw a phone call our way, happy to have you. 1-888-550-2550. The story from camp. I mean, man, the Curtis Samuel conversation. He's not been a part of camp.
No, and he is not. And like, you don't really have, like, we just went through it with Sal. $400,000 you save, you're going to spend $1 million on a vet minimum or on shavers to replace him. You'll spend more on that guy. It's close enough, but like really the ideal situation, I think, is if you could get him traded and save $7 million doing it that way.
Yep.
But who is taking or wanting a injured Curtis Samuel right now,
a team
with a contract that gives him, money.
It's a team with cap space that you give them.
It's a cap dump.
You give them a fifth and take back Samuel in a fifth for a seventh the following year.
You're buying the $7 million of cap space.
Yeah, pretty much. And then like, okay, who replaces him? Who gets that job? Is it Jalen Virgil, Tyrell Shavers? Is it?
Well, at this point, like they kind of might. Is the expectation for Samuel higher than a player like that would be for being fifth on the depth chart?
I think,
is there any – I'm not hearing Elijah Moore is tearing up training camp headlines.
He's
and I've watched
too.
Him, and he's had his injury, and he's looked fine to me, but he hasn't jumped off the page when I've been watching.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I was putting a depth chart together right now, wide receiver, Elijah Moore is clearly ahead of Curtis Samuel, isn't he? Just by on the field?
Right, being available, yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Will the Bills make the 7 landing spots for Micah Parsons, according to Eric Edholm?
Yes. I'll predict they do.
Okay, ready?
Although Eric's pretty sharp, he might know that their cap situation is so tough that they can't get it in.
Let's play the game. Micah Parsons landing spots.
Baltimore's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's on the list. Are the Eagles on the list? No, right?
I'm going to scroll down.
Nobody could possibly think the Cowboys would trade him to
team number one, Buffalo Bills.
Team number one?
First team listed. It might be alphabetical. He does say, sure, there are roadblocks everywhere. They don't have the cap space to make this offer.
And that's what Brandon even said that, right? Like, that the biggest problem we probably have is our cap situation.
Yeah.
Because they are tight, and they've had an offseason here. So, that makes sense. Who else on the list? The Eagles? The Patriots, I think, have cap space still.
It's Bills, Panthers, Washington. Bears, Browns, okay. Raiders, Bucks. Commanders.
Well, that is not a list of Super Bowl contenders like I was expecting.
There's like two and a half in there.
Browns.
If you'll grant me the Bucks is like half. Bills, Commanders, and Bucks. Two and a half.
How many of those teams can win the Super Bowl? Two?
And a half.
Two and a half?
Yeah.
You can't have a half.
The Bucks can half win the Super Bowl.
What does that mean? That means they can make the Super Bowl?
I mean,
you think they can make the Super Bowl?
I'm saying if they got Parsons on that defense, their offense should be great. And, well, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not prepared to answer if the Bucks are a Super Bowl team.
Can you see Baker Mayfield winning the Super Bowl?
I would love to, on some level, see that.
I mean, I love him. I love Mayfield, and I would love to see it, but I can't see it. He's that middle-tier quarterback that, to me, is like, they're good, but, like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a good player. He's not winning a Super Bowl in his entire career.
Why does Parsons seem to me less likely than every one of the other ones we talked about, whether that was Hendrickson, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby? Like, this offseason came in. T.J. Watt. Like, every one of those, I was like, well, you know, especially with Garrett, I thought that was possible, and Crosby.
Yep.
And nobody moved. Parsons is, of course, disgruntled, and justifiably so. And I can't even bring myself to what's he offer? James Cook, AJ Epinesa, and three firsts. Like, I can't even you know, make fun of that offer. It just, to me, Parsons seems like he's not getting moved.
It's such a big move that it's,
you know,
I mostly agree with you.
It is the age.
Teams do not let players like that at that age
it's
go.
It's the age. Like, that's what it is.
And they're still trying to win. Garrett was a little different in that. Okay, the Browns are rebuilding, and how old is Garrett, 30?
Hendrickson is 30.
Hendrickson's
Garrett
30.
Garrett is 29.
T.J. Watt was 31, right?
Like, all those guys. Max Crosby is 27.
Those are their second big contracts.
Yeah.
This is the first big contract for a guy who's 26 on a team that's competitive.
And he's.
That guy usually doesn't get moved.
And he's dominant. He's freakishly good. Like, it's really hard.
But if he hates the owner.
Right.
Then that could make that different than the other situations.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I tend to think he's less likely to get moved than all of those guys because of the age and because this is how the Cowboys usually do business. But I have a bet with Nate even that, like, all these guys will get signed. They're going to have drama about all of them, but they'll eventually get signed. Although, to be fair, I don't think Prescott and CeeDee Lamb ever graduated to demanding a trade and writing a two-screenshot letter to the team on why he's done. Maybe we should listen to his podcast when it comes out next. Maybe he'll give us something there. So I could be wrong, but I think he's less likely to move than I thought Garrett was and Hendrickson is.
Yeah.
Like right now, who's more likely, Hendrickson or Parsons? I'd say Hendrickson.
Hendrickson is also closer to freedom, in finger quotes here. Because that's another part of this.
Because of what? Because of his
actual contract and his age. Like, the franchise tag for Hendrickson would be the kind of money that the Bengals probably don't want to pay.
Oh, I see.
And
the Cowboys would do it for.
Yeah, the Cowboys
have done it.
Yeah, the Cowboys have dabbled in the franchise tag again and again and again.
Yeah.
The Bengals just did with T. Higgins, but still, like,
right.
If they don't want to pay Hendrickson $27 million, they probably don't want to pay him $27 million. This gets back to Cook too. As much as the Bills do have some leverage with Cook on the franchise tag, they will not have him play on a franchise tag. The franchise tag, if it gets there with James Cook, is a placeholder to keep negotiations open. My guess is they don't even tender it because then he could sign it.
But then you give him a lot of leverage. If he knows you don't want me on your books for this number.
Right.
And you got to carry him on that number while you do this.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, guess what? I'm not talking to you now. The Bills are going to go, uh-oh, maybe we should give him what he wants because we're not going to want him to play in the franchise
tag. Right. We don't want a $15 million cap hit on the back. So, yeah, I feel like the franchise tag, much like in the case of Shakir and Bernard, I do not consider it possible. With Rousseau and Benford, I thought it could be possible, and of course they avoided it on, well, all of them to this point. 803-0550, that's our phone number. We are live from St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe, happy August 4th preseason. Happy August 4th. I'm just wishing you a happy August 4th. That's how I roll.
I was going to say, is today a special day? Is today an anniversary of something?
Special to me.
What could today be an anniversary?
Everybody knows what August 4th is. So it's National preseason. Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
I mean, one of these days is going to be the anniversary of, like, when Matt Sims threw a ball backwards.
That's right. We are getting to that.
Like, we'll start getting into that territory. The Matt Leinart game.
Yep. 803-0550. Give us a ring if you'd like to. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Congrats to Cam Young for winning the Wyndham, his first PGA Tour win. Cam Young is, as a golfer, quick golf thing, he's got a swing that's memorable. Can you identify the swing?
Yeah,
Cam
he
Young's,
does the thing where
he has his backswing is it's back and he holds it.
Yeah,
longer than most is what I'd say.
There's like a delay at the top.
Yeah, like a hitch, like a back. And you want to talk about tempo town? He's got his own tempo,
but he still smokes it.
Yes,
smokes it.
Yep. So good for him.
He won by six. There also was a Major League Baseball game at Bristol Motor Speedway, which was dubbed the Fire Fest of Baseball. Awful logistics, no food except for bunless hot dogs and cheeseless nachos.
Wow.
Which at that point is not a hot dog and not a
cheeseless nachos.
Those are not nachos.
Those anymore. Are just chips.
Yeah. Shuttles to get into the stadium, multiple shuttles, completely unprepared for rain. So that seemed like it was a disaster for baseball.
Mm.
Between the Reds and the Braves had that going on.
All right. Happy birthday, Marv.
Marv Levy.
100 years old over the weekend.
Did you watch any? I don't think I've watched a Hall of Fame ceremony since Andre Reed got in.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of Sterling Sharp and Shannon Sharp.
How were they?
Great. Whenever those two.
Yeah.
Did you see when Shannon got to be the one to tell Sterling he got in? It's pretty.
Oh, I've seen
powerful
that. Powerful
stuff.
Yes.
Like the.
I see those more often than I see the speeches.
That's
I will
right.
see how they find out.
Yep.
When Jimmy Johnson found out and he started crying on the Fox broadcast, like that was cool. But, yeah, I'm not there for the speeches anymore. I mean, the speeches.
Sterling
used to be like must see.
He brought up Shannon on with him. Like, we did this together. We did this together.
Yeah.
And super powerful. Like, Sterling, his whole speech was, everything I did for an audience of one. He was saying he did it for his brother. Like, their bond is obviously incredibly strong. And it's just like, you know. Anyway, 803-0550. Final hour here. Today's practice is closed to the public. There will be people here. They practice again on Wednesday and Thursday. And you know, next hour, we're going to have James Cook watch. Is he walking out there in the uniform to get on the bike? Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
And the Bills, at least Brandon Bean, when he joined us about an hour and a half ago, said, I don't know. So we'll get Sean McDermott's thoughts on it. McDermott's going to join us on Wednesday, we believe. So we'll sit down and talk with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll see if it's resolved by then or, you know, where we are. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550, live from St. John Fisher on WGR.